Amen. Praise the Lord for the special this morning, and know that we have a loving Heavenly Father. What a blessing. Have your Bibles with you if you look with me to the book of Acts in chapter 20. Acts in chapter 20. We're going to be reading verse 17 down to verse 38 in the book of Acts in chapter 20. If you'll stand with me, we'll read the Word of God together. As I read, you follow right along with me. Acts chapter 20, verse 17. And from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. And when they were come to him, he said unto them, "You know from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you all at all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears and temptations, which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And now behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. And now, behold, I know that ye all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, shall see my face no more. Wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men, for I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn every one night and day with tears. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. I have coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. Yea, ye yourselves know that these hands have ministered unto my necessities and to them that were with me. I've showed you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, 'It is more blessed to give than to receive.' And when he had thus spoken, he kneeled down and prayed with them all, and they all wept sore and fell on Paul's neck and kissed him, sorrowing most of all for the words which he spake, that they would see his face no more. And they accompanied him unto the ship." And let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, as we bow before you once again today, we love you, Lord, and thank you for all that you've already blessed us with in this place this morning. And Lord, I pray now for all that have assembled here together. Lord, you know exactly what's taken place in all of our lives, and you know what we have need of spiritually today. I thank you for the opportunity to be here and for each one that took advantage of their opportunity and have assembled here together this morning. I pray, God, that you would empower the preaching and the teaching of thy word at this point. I ask, God, that you'd use me once again as an instrument in your word to bring forth your message to your people from your word. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. You may be seated. Again, we're in our month of Faith Promise Missions. And we've been preaching on Faith Promise throughout our Sunday mornings here. And then, of course, missionaries coming in preaching Sunday night. Here in the book of Acts in chapter 20, we find the great apostle slash missionary, Paul is on his third missionary journey. He's on his way to Jerusalem, where in Jerusalem he will be arrested and he will live out the rest of his life as a Roman prisoner. And God would continue to use him. He would write several of the New Testament books of the Bible while a Roman prisoner. Paul's life was one that God would use as an example to all believers of this entire church age. Paul would be used by God to pen 14 of the 27 New Testament books of the Bible. He would be Christ-like in all things and how he lived his life. He would follow the example of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I believe the theme of Paul's life and the message that I'm going to be preaching to you this morning based upon his testimony here in Acts in chapter 20 is that Paul lived his Christian life for others. As an example, if we want the joy of the Lord, then we must get our minds off of ourselves and live our lives to serve the Lord. And if we're serving the Lord, we will have others on our minds. And in doing this, Paul calls these leaders of the churches of Ephesus together. And Paul reveals to them in verse 18 and 19, he says, "And when they were come to him, he said unto them," you know, Paul had been with them for 3 years and he had had a testimony before them. And so he says, "You know, you've witnessed my testimony for 3 years. He says, "You know, from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons, you witnessed my testimony, serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears and temptations, the trials that they saw him go through, which befell me by the lying in way of the Jews." And then verse 20 says, "And how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and taught you publicly from house to house." The first thing that we find about Paul's testimony that I believe that God would use as an example to all believers of this church age is that Paul said he kept back nothing. Paul realized who he was in Christ, and he realized the opportunities that God had given to him to serve the Lord. Can I tell you that as born-again believers, we need to know who we are in Christ? We are children of God's. We have the very indwelling of the Holy Spirit of God in us. We are God's children. As in our Sunday morning Sunday school this morning, we can do all things through Christ. When you're in Christ, you can go through Christ. And if you're in Christ and you can go through Christ, you can do all things. Whatever God would have you to do, as a born-again believer, we must understand and we must know that we can accomplish that which God would have us to accomplish in this life. So Paul realized who he was in Christ and the opportunities that God had given to him to serve him. And when it comes to those opportunities, and when it comes to what we can do for Christ, we can't hold back anything. As believers, we need to give ourselves to what God would have us to give to. And that idea of giving is very important. Giving our lives to be used to help others. Serving the Lord. Can I tell you this morning that living for the Lord and living for others is a spiritual mindset. It's the very nature of God. We stop and think about who God is. The only way that we can really understand who God is what God has revealed to us about Himself. And for the New Testament church age, which is something that the Old Testament looked forward to. It's what the Old Testament pointed to, Christ coming. And the verse that all of us would be able to quote, I believe, in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world, all humanity, that he gave his only begotten Son. Whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. The very nature of who God is that of giving. It was clearly seen in God the Son as he came to dwell upon this earth, to live some 33 years, and to be an example for all Christianities for the rest of the church age. That they would look to him as Paul did and follow in his footsteps and have this idea, this motto for his life, that I want to serve the Lord. And serving the Lord is being aware of others. In Philippians in chapter 2, I want you to turn there with me. Philippians in chapter 2, as Paul writes to the church there in Philippi, he presents some things that are very evident of Paul's life and where he got it from, following after Christ. Philippians in chapter 2 and verses 1 through 8, the Bible says that if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem others better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was in also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. He was God in the flesh, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Living for others is a spiritual mindset. And as we live in this life, we have to realize that it's what God would have us to do, but the carnal mind will be against it. Our thoughts outside of God's thoughts will be against it. The desires and the lust of the flesh outside of having God's desires in us will be against that. It is not natural for us to think of others. If you look in at children who reveal that sin nature from the very time they're born into this life, that baby is not thinking about getting mom and dad out of bed, thinking what it's doing to them. That baby's thinking, I'm hungry, and this world revolves around me, feed me. That child goes into that toddler nursery. They're not thinking about sharing. They're not thinking about, well, let all the other children have what they want, and I'll take what's left over. No child in the toddler nursery thinks that way. Why? Because it's their nature. We're born with a sin nature. The Bible reveals that to us. As we get older, can I tell you, we still have that sin nature. It will not be a natural thing for you to think of others and put others before yourself. In Romans in chapter 8, look there with me. Romans in chapter 8 and verses 5 down to verse 9. The Bible says, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Once you are saved, born again, you have the Spirit dwelling within you. You have to yield to the Spirit because it will change your thinking. It will change your outlook on life. It will present to you the opportunity to receive the joy of the Lord. For to be carnally minded is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. To be spiritually minded is to have abundant life, even here. To be spiritually minded will bring the peace of God that passeth all understanding. Being spiritually minded and yielding to the things of the Spirit will bring into our lives the joy that we cannot receive from the world. No matter how much money you have. No matter how many servants you have. You can't receive this kind of joy unless you apply the spiritual mind. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, it's against it. The carnal mind is going to war against the spiritual mind. For the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can it be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. But if you have the Spirit of God within you, then you can have this spiritual mindset. And this spiritual mindset will be different than a fleshly mindset. But it's a spiritual mindset that brings the joy and the peace of God. Can I tell you, this mindset of others reveal our true spirituality more than church attendance. There's people in churches all around the world today that are in church today but have a carnal mindset. Do not have the joy of the Lord. Do not have the peace of God. They're not experiencing what God has to offer them. Because even though they're in church, they've not yielded to the spiritual mind of Christ, which would lead us to go to church. Amen. Now, Satan would love to keep you completely out of church, especially out of a Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church, where you're going to hear the message that God has for you. But just attending church does not reveal true spirituality. We can be sitting in the pew and letting it know, be made known that this is my pew. I'm not thinking of others. I'm thinking about this is my pew. So just being in church does not reveal this spiritual mindset. Can I tell you that Bible reading does not reveal this spiritual mindset like giving does? Like being aware of others does? You can read your Bible all morning and be very selfish in your own home. It reveals our true spirituality more than even prayer. Luke in chapter 18, I want you to see this. So Luke in chapter 18. Some people think, well, as long as I'm aware and I'm praying, then that reveals my spirituality. Not necessarily, but how you pray will. We preached on Solomon a couple weeks ago, and we learned what not to ask for. Solomon asked for that which was pleasing to God. He asked that God would equip him to be able to accomplish what God had, to the position that God had called him to. That's thinking of others. That's thinking about God's children, Israel. That's thinking about being used by God. But we find here in Luke in chapter 18, we have a prayer that God reveals to us. In Luke in chapter 18 and verse 10, the Bible says, two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself. See, many times we think we're praying, but if it's a selfish prayer, it's to yourself. It's God's not hearing that. God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week, I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes into heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Jesus says, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified. God heard his prayer rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Paul reminded them, don't hold back anything. Look to God and thank God for what He has given to you, the opportunities to serve Him, the talents, the abilities, whatever it might be. And look to God and ask God to direct you in how you give in every area. But be looking to give. Don't look at be holding back anything, but be looking to God to serve the Lord and to give and with a mindset of being a blessing, being a help to others. In Acts in chapter 20, if you look back there with me to our text, Paul lived for others, and in doing that, he kept back nothing. He was willing to give whatever God would have him to give. That is, willing to give whatever God would have him to give, we find the next thing that he reveals to us in verse 21, what he gave. The Bible says, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul gave what was needed and not what was necessarily wanted. Paul preached repentance and faith in Christ as the only way to salvation. What people need to hear today. But it's not necessarily what they want to hear, and it's not necessarily what they're hearing. Bible doctrine does matter. Can I tell you that Paul realized that what the people needed was what thus saith the Lord, and what thus saith the Lord was repentance. What thus saith the Lord was understand God's plan for your life, to understand Bible doctrine. What God's plan was is one plan for salvation, and it has to go through the blood of Jesus Christ. This idea that all roads lead to heaven today is not of God. God has one design plan for humanity, and all must go by the way of Jesus Christ. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. And that's exactly what the world, all humanity, needs to hear today. They don't need to hear, well, as long as you're sincere in what you believe. They don't need to hear, as long as you're faithful to the church, and you bring your tithes in on Sunday, and you can go out and do whatever you want. Just make sure that you're faithful to the church and bring your tithes in and be a part of this church. And the church itself will secure you a place in heaven. That is not what the Bible says. That is not what Jesus Christ taught. Paul realized he was going to give of himself, and he was not holding anything back. But what he was going to give, he was going to make sure that what he gave is what the people needed and not necessarily what they desired. Paul reveals in verse 27 that he would preach, and he had preached the whole counsel of God. He said, for I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. And then he tells them, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood. He says, for I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves in sheep's clothing. He's not talking about the animal wolf. He's talking about how Satan is going to infiltrate the church as wolves in sheep's clothing entering among you and not sparing the flock. Paul preached the Word of God, all the counsel of God. And if it's God's counsel, can I tell you, it's a counsel that does not change. Because God does not change. And Psalms in 33 and verse 11 says, the counsel of the Lord standeth forever. In Hebrews 13:8, the Bible says, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Can I tell you that our thoughts will change? If we didn't have the Word of God, can I tell you that then I would be in agreement with that morality changes with every generation. As we look back over the generations of time, every generation has had a different stand on morality. And they've accepted the philosophies of man concerning the generation that they lived in. But if you go back to the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, they have not changed their thoughts on morality and what's right and wrong, because the Word of God reveals what is right and wrong. God has established what is moral and what is not. Therefore, if we preach the whole counsel of God, we never have to change what we preach. If we preach our philosophies, how many of you have the very same philosophy you did when you was a child? Wow. I had different thoughts when I was a child. I had different thoughts when I was a teenager. I had different thoughts even about marriage when I got married than what I do today. When I was young, I thought I knew it all. The more into the marriage you get, you realize I didn't know as much as I thought I did. Why? Because our thoughts change. Our philosophies on life and what we put as prioritizing in our lives. My priorities today are not what my priorities were back when I was young, but what God has established as priorities has remained the same. What people need is not philosophies, is not what you think, nor what I think. What people need is what thus saith the Lord. Paul gave what was needed and not necessarily what was wanted. The Bible says in the end of the book, the end of this Bible, in Revelation chapter 22, verse 18, 19, not to change it. Don't add to it. Don't take away from it. It's the Word of God. Paul gave what the people needed to know. People need to know that they have to turn away from sin. Repentance. In order to repent, you know what you have to have? Conviction. Today, people don't want to go to church to be convicted. They want to go to church, for the most part, to be entertained, to hear what they want to hear. What we need is to go to church to hear from God. I often say in a beginning, ask God to speak to you as you have need to be spoken to. He knows what we're blinded to. And God, I want you to speak to me as I need to be spoken to. And God, I will listen to what you say to me. If I need to be convicted, God, convict my heart. Yes, amen. I want conviction. Because without conviction, we will not repent. Repentance is a change of mind that leads to a change of life. Repentance is saying, I'm going this direction, and I come under conviction about going this direction. If I didn't come under conviction about going this direction, I'm not going to change that direction. But when the Holy Spirit of God convicts me, and I come under conviction of that direction, I repent. And repentance is a change of mind that leads to a change of life. I'm no longer going that direction. I am going in the direction that God would have me to go in. Outside of conviction, there will be no repentance. And yet, we need repentance. Paul said that he gave the people what they needed. He gave them the whole counsel of God. And part of the counsel of God is he preached repentance. It's what people need today. It's what will help them. Can I tell you that people want help today? A lot of people want help today. They're in trouble in their relationships. They're in trouble with their finances. They're in trouble in a lot of different areas, and they're wanting help, but they don't want to live godly. Or, if you will, they don't want to repent. They want you to fix what's broken and let them continue to live the life that they want to live. And in doing that today, they might get man's help. But what they need is God's help. God's help requires repentance. You come to our church and you come to what we have here and we'll help you. We'll help you to possibly work on your marriage and we'll help you to work on your finances and we'll help you. But if it's not repentance, it's what got them in the mess. It's living a wrong kind of lifestyle that got them in that financial difficulties or got them into that problem in their relationships. And what they need is God's help, not man's help. You might be able to get man's help by listening to man and doing what he tells you to do. But what people need is man, is God's help. And Paul said, understanding what people need, I preach the whole counsel of God. I preach repentance toward God. Amen. When you repent toward God, then there's help from God. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Amen. Restores the fellowship to God. And with restored fellowship with God, then God is able to bless and direct us in the paths of righteousness. So we can have man's help or we can get what we truly need through repentance. And that's God's help. The last thing, if you look there with me, Acts chapter 20, verse 33 down to verse 35. Now, Paul kept back nothing. He was willing to give all of himself. Paul gave what was needed, the whole counsel of God. He realized he was representing God. He was a servant of the Lord. He was not serving himself. He was not serving a religion. He was serving God. Therefore, he would preach God's word, the whole counsel. Then Paul reveals that he was willing to sacrifice. To accomplish what God wanted him to accomplish, he was willing to sacrifice. And can I tell you, we'll need to be willing to sacrifice. Verse 33. I'd coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. Yea, ye yourselves know. For 3 years he was with them. They know this, that these hands have ministered unto my necessities and to them that were with me. He was willing to work. He was willing to do whatever, because he did not want to be a burden. He did not want to be one that was looked at as someone who was just looking to receive from others. I have showed you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak, and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed. Now, Paul lived by this motto. He understood that it was true. And he saw in the life of Christ, he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. He was not looking to receive what others had to offer. He was looking for the joy and blessings that giving brings. Look at your life. Are you living to receive from others? In your marriage, are you living and looking to receive what your spouse can do for you, what your children can do for you, what this world can do for you, what God can do for you? Is that how we live? Are we looking for the joy and blessings that giving brings? Givers are always welcome. Receivers are avoided. You see a giver coming down the hallway, and you know that he's going to say some kind words. He's going to compliment me. You wait for him, and you welcome his presence. You see a receiver coming down the hallway. They're going to ask me to do something. They have something they want from me. And what happens? When you see them coming this way, you go that way. Givers are always welcome. Receivers are avoided. The Bible says in Proverbs 18:24, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly. It's not what you can do for me, but let me do for you. It's not God give me friends, it's God make me a friend. Make me the kind of person that I need to be a friend to others. Make me the kind of person that I need to be like Christ and to be like the Apostle Paul and be willing to give my life to be a blessing to others. You live your marriage that way, can I tell you? You will have joy in your marriage. You live that way in your workplace. Can I tell you? Yeah, there's some that want to take advantage of you and all the different things. I understand that. But you do it in serving the Lord. And can I tell you that it will bring joy into your life as you do it and sacrifice whatever needs to be the person that God wants you to be. He knew there was joy in serving God and living for others. And he says in verse 24, and we'll close. He knew that he would face bonds and affliction as he would go to Jerusalem. And he would. He did. But he said, none of these things move me. That's not scaring me off. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy. I don't let the flesh dictate how I live my life. I don't let the carnal mind dictate how I treat others. I'm going to crucify myself and allow Christ to live in and through me, that I might finish my course with joy in the ministry which I have received the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. Are we living with joy? Are you being received or avoided? Are you living for others? I believe that we have the testimony of God, who the very nature of God is that of giving, of the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave His life as a sacrificial lamb for the sins of the world. As Paul, let's learn this truth of the joy of the Lord comes by way of others. If I could have every head bowed and every eye closed. What's our mindset today? Do you have joy in your Christian life? Say, preacher, I'm coming to church. I'm reading my Bible. I'm even praying. Can I tell you, that's not where... That's part of it. But it's the mindset. You do those things so that you can be more of what you ought to be for others. Get that mindset. Can I tell you, it'll change your life. It will bring to us the joy of the Lord. Father, we love You. Thank You for the truth of Scripture. And thank You for the example that we have of a Heavenly Father, of a only begotten Son, and the many Bible characters that reveal to us the importance of living our lives and serving the Lord for others. Help us. Lord God, help us to have right thinking and to live a life that is pleasing to Thee. Bless in this invitation. In Jesus' name we pray.